More on these stories at townhall.com.
Good morning. At I-295 going north Duval Road, a crash involving at least three cars. If you're on I-10 West in Baker County, mile marker 331, look out for a wreck there. The cars involved are now in the right emergency lane. 295 North at Bay Meadows, traffic is heavy. And at 95 North from Butler to University, we're seeing some busy roads there this morning as well. 60% chance of thunderstorms today, 95 the high. This evening, a 1 in 5 chance of rain and an overnight low of 78. Right now, 77 at WBOB. Here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Circulation and readership of local newspapers hits an all-time low. The Florida Attorney General is going after deceitful car dealerships. And the National Rifle Association says they are at opposite ends with the White House on proposed gun legislation dealing with background checks.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
3 minutes after 8 a.m. Friday morning. Is it Monday or Friday? I don't know, because every day's a Friday to me. I'm the happiest behind the mic. I really am. Ed Dean. Roger Henderson, thankful to all of you that listen to the show. I mean, I really mean that. A lot of people take the audience for granted. I don't. Been doing this for many years, and I enjoy it more today than I ever have before. 831-0600, 904-831-0600. This is Talk Radio WBOB. Let's continue on with some of the big news out there. For those of you, now this is a nationwide story, but it also hits here locally, whether you're in the Florida Today, the Press Journal, the Times Union out of Jacksonville, the Orlando Sentinel. Yeah, how many of you all, when you get a call from, let's say, a salesperson that says, ma'am or sir, we want you to subscribe or renew your subscription, how many of y'all are saying no? Well, but here's the main question. What are the reasons why that you're saying no? Or do you say, yes, I will, but you want to give your advice? What advice do you give to a local newspaper that calls you? What do you tell them when they want to renew your subscription? Well, the main story here is that circulation and readership of local newspapers throughout the country and also here in the state of Florida is gone down by digital. Now, digital wasn't really big back in 1999.
Right.
But half of that, included with the digital, has gone down. You ready for this? Readership, circulation's gone down by 50%. Those are the days of 1999. That's according to last week's Pew Research Center assessment. And declining readership is also plummeting revenue and growing in some areas digital preferences, but it translates into fewer workers. I'm seeing all these posts for many individuals out there for local newspapers. Oh, what about local newspaper coverage? And I get that. But if it's going to the digital side, Roger, you don't need 30, 40 reporters. You got one reporter who right. looks at a couple of press releases, does a story, bam, and they're done within a few hours.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, why that is. And I'm thinking maybe it's more like alerts with apps driven. If many of these online publications came up with an app right. that would tell someone when something breaking happened, maybe that would help.
Here's Reed Wilson from TheHill.com.
People have a lot more trust, in, especially their local news organizations, than they would in some of these big
Which
national
being,
ones.
Got it
but when we say media, people sort of default to these national cable or news outlets that
right.
have an editorial a bent by design. That's how they make their money.
Well, and I think describing them as infotainment is important right. for people to remember. Like they're about their bottom line. This right. is not like a public interest project.
There you go. So again, local versus national. No. In some cases, you know, we've talked about this before, the Washington Post digital and the New York Times digital has gone up under the age of Trump. But remember what Fox Business News reported just 2 weeks ago.
Starbucks saying goodbye to newspapers. Starbucks dropping big names like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and USA Today from its store shelf.
So the question that I like to ask you, you out there listening right now, what is your view of the reason why local publications, not nationwide, we're talking locally, wherever you're listening to the show. Again, it could be, the Orlando Sentinel's a big publication, Ron. The Miami Herald's a big local publication. The Times Union is a big publication. When you get a call, you out there, and I love hearing input from you. When they call you up and say, ma'am or sir, we want you to renew to the Sentinel or to the Times Union. What is your response? Do you say yes or do you say no or is it heck no? And what is the response that you give them? And for some of you that don't subscribe to the publication anymore, what are the reasons why? What are the reasons why that you no longer subscribe to the publication. The NRA is warning President Trump and Republicans, don't go down the road of this background check. Don't go down the road of this red flag idea. It's more gun control. Fox News.
The National Rifle Association finds itself in the familiar and unpopular position of opposing the rising call for gun control.
National Rifle Association CEO Wayne LaPierre has just released a statement. He says the NRA opposes any proposal that infringes on the rights of law-abiding Americans. And he says anything politicians are discussing now would not have prevented the shootings from this past weekend.
All right. So, Ron Davis, you say the NRA is going to win on this debate, right?
Yes, ultimately.
Okay. Here, so I've got to play this as a journalist, and Roger, you can chime in as well. Is the system good when it comes to background checks?
With the information they're able to get, yes, the system
is
good.
With what they're able to get.
Yes.
What is the system that they're not able to get for the audience?
Access to the mental health records.
And should we allow those to take place?
That's where the debate is.
Is that where the debate should go?
That's where the debate should go.
Okay. Roger, you would go a little further.
I agree. I think that the mental health records need to be made available, but I also am concerned about the privacy of everyone who doesn't want to have their business out there, because that could curtail people from getting the mental health they need. There's already a stigma associated. I would like to see guarantees in place that no one except those who need to know will have access to your medical information.
What about like the Dayton, Ohio shooter where that was mentally disturbed. So I think I would throw that in the same box where he had he had a hit list. He wanted to sexually assault certain women, wanted to hit some of the guys. And should a school record be included with that as well, even though he might not have been convicted of anything?
Mental health professionals and teachers are mandatory reporters. If they get information regarding someone that's posing imminent harm, specific imminent harm to themselves or to somebody else, they have to report it. Okay. So a lot of times they're not reported because they're not specific. Maybe they're not imminent. They're a general. I want to kill somebody at some point in time, but it's not specific. So maybe there needs to be a discussion on how do we get that information into the hands of the mental health professionals.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
How do the mental health professionals then get the hands? If you get in the hands of somebody that makes these decisions, right, as it relates to firearms.
Ron Davis, attorney here. So let me ask you this. What about the red flag laws? There's a lot of discussion we've heard from the audience on the red flag laws. How do you do the limitation of the scope of limitations with that debate as well? Or do we have laws in the book where a judge can sit back and go, hey, I've been making some nasty comments to Roger. I'm going to get you, sucker. From the Cain and Ivory Wayans movie. And I'm talking about using a gun. There's already laws in the book. The judge sits back and says, hey, this guy is really showing some signs of hostility here. I want to take away some of his weapons.
Red flag law is just a pretty word right now we're throwing around. No one even knows what it means. Okay, it's basically reporting. Hmm. How do we flag people that we don't think should have firearms? And that's what we're talking about. And I, you know, we have all this information that's available. It's just that it's confidential at this point. That's where the debate needs to be. How do you change it? I think that maybe the Dayton shooter could have been stopped. Cruz could have been shot. Could have been stopped if the right information had been reported. Been available for background checks, but it's currently illegal to release that information or make it even reportable in that sense. So that's where the debate is.
Will they or won't they go along with impeachment? You know, Roger and I have been talking about this. We've been playing the clips for the last several months. Democrats have been asked by the media, when are you guys going to do this? Ignore Mueller. When are you guys going to unload and start down the roads when it comes to the idea of impeaching President Trump? When is all this going to happen? Well, this question was asked, and Aaron Burnett had breaking news.
Breaking news, an impeachment earthquake. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, now considering formally recommending articles of impeachment against the president. He and Speaker Nancy Pelosi are the two names who will make history on this issue in Congress. And at this hour, Nadler's committee is now engaged in a full-blown investigation.
Well, here we go. Is it an investigation or is it really impeachment proceedings? This is what the House Judiciary Chairman said yesterday.
This is formal impeachment proceedings. We are investigating all the evidence. We're gathering the evidence. And we will, at the conclusion of this, hopefully by the end of the year, vote to vote articles of impeachment to the House floor, or we won't. That's a decision that we'll have to make.
Now, wait. Roger, when you think of impeachment proceedings, I'm thinking about having a debate on these committees and on the floor to bring it up. Mm-hmm. His version is, well, we're still doing the investigation, so technically that's his impeachment proceedings.
Interesting how they're spinning that. I do believe there's probably going to be continual,
pushing
this
yeah.
up, probably almost to Election Day.
Roger, I think, is correct. They're going to keep continuing this all the way through at least August of next year. By the way, you know the candidates right now are not talking about this. The question is, do you think they're going to try to be gutsy enough to come up with a vote before the end of the year?
I've been saying this for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you keep looking at me like I'm crazy. Democrats can't control themselves.
I agree with you on that.
Of course they are. They right now, they're saying, what is it, over half of the Democrats in Congress are in favor of it? I mean, they're going home over the break. You do you think any town hall that shows up, anybody's talking about anything other than impeachment?
No, nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, this is their plan.
Right,
they're stuck to it.
And in fact, I saw an article earlier this week somewhere that even North Florida Al Lawson, North Florida Congressman Al Lawson, says that there will probably end up being some type of action within the next few weeks on impeachment, although he doesn't personally support it.
Maybe they think they can use the gun control argument as cover. Say, hey, look at the poll numbers. But Trump's numbers are pretty high, according to the New York Times today.
Yeah, and I think
so
they'll remain
on Avenue. Yeah, call them a white supremacist, try to make them wait. Coming up next, we'll talk about that, plus more of the media. And by the way, guess what, according to the former ICE director, Thomas Homan, who, by the way, was an ICE director under Barack H. Obama, told the news yesterday, one of the bigger reasons why they had to raid some of these companies out there and those of illegal aliens. Guess what the main reason why? It's not because they came to this country illegally. We'll get to all of that here in just a couple of moments. Ed Dean and Roger Henderson. 831-0600. 904-831-0600. So before we get to the calls, we've been talking about gun control. Can I talk about the publication for a second? 831-0600. Here we go. We're going to get to calls in just a brief moment. I know, everybody wants to talk, and we're going to get to plenty of you. So here we go. We're going to talk about gun control. Any other issue you want to talk about? But can I ask a newspaper question? As a guy who's been an editor for several publications, political editors, well, print-wise, if newspaper subscriptions locally, the Times Union, you subscribe to a newspaper here or somewhere else, do you still subscribe? Are you happy? Are you not happy? If the Times Union or another publication called you up and said, ma'am or sir, would you like to renew your subscription? And you say no, what is your reasons why for telling them no? Now, we can talk about this issue and other issues as well. Or, and here's a trivia question. Roger, you got it right. There were three big areas where people, sometimes besides reading the front page of the publication, the newspaper, there are three big areas that they go to read when it comes to newspapers. One's the obituaries. Number two is the comics, which could be part of the editorial. But there's another one that is not, it's probably one of the top three areas where people read, but here's your hint. The part that you read is not reported by the staff. What part is that? 831-0600. Let's go to Brian. Hey, Brian, thanks for waiting. How are you this morning? Hey, Brian. All right, let's go to Henry. Hey, Henry, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call. After 30-some years, my wife and her friends, they dropped the Times Union paper because they just fake news. That's what she's saying, fake news. And also because they just don't report the good about Trump. It's all bad about Trump, front page.
So what? When did you guys, how long ago did you decide not to take it anymore?
About 6 months, 6 months after he became president.
Really? Did you notice?
Yeah.
Did you notice when the campaign was going on? Did the Times Union, in your view, did the Times Union, were they starting to go down that pathway of not support, offering, as you said, they didn't give both sides?
We talked about that, and we got probably about 4 months into the election year, they started. You could tell that it was more so a liberal paper.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Go ahead.
But I gave it a benefit of doubt because I loved reading my paper.
Right.
But right. I had that in the back of my mind, and I started kind of keep tabs on it. And sure enough, it just seemed everything on the front page was always negative about Trump. You know, they don't talk about the jobs. They don't talk about low unemployment. They go whatever, I hate to say the fake news network, but whatever's important or relevant at the time is what they put on the front page.
You know, so Henry, and thank you for the call. Henry says, hey, the fake news and blah, blah, blah. Here's it. Before I get back to the calls here real quick, the Times Union is no fan of Mayor Lenny Curry. I read Nate Monroe's stuff almost daily on Twitter. And I will tell you, I differ with Nate on the school tax, but I think he makes some valid points about some of the former city employees getting consulting jobs. Sam Musso is one, and others. I think it's a valid point to cover. I'm not saying maybe they should or should not have them. I think it just says, well, wait a second, you just retired from the city, and now you just, it's like saying, I'm going to go in the drop program, oh, but I'm going to come back work for the city. Just kind of curious about that. Let's go to, who's up next?
I think it was David.
Let's go to David. Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning. I quit getting the paper in 2016 towards closer to the election of Donald Trump for president. And the reason I did that was they were leaning so left, and they couldn't write anything bad about Hillary whatsoever, but they could about President Trump. And I even called down there and asked him about it, and I just kind of got frustrated, and I ended my subscription.
David, let me ask you this: with the Times Union, did you tell them you weren't happy with it, or was it just, hey, you guys, we've given you plenty of time, you're not going to do it? Were you very vocal about your opposition?
I called them several times and asked them about different things that were happening. There's something I can't think of it right off the top of my head, but I called them about that. And they said, well, we're going to, you know, we're not leaning left. We're going to be fair and balanced. And they kept on. And I said, okay. And they weren't. So I canceled my subscription. I enjoyed the paper. I enjoyed the sports. I love looking at the sports and reading the fishing and all that stuff. And, you know, going through all the everything. I even like reading that, you know, the ads for sale in the back of the paper. I enjoyed the paper. And I hate that I don't have a paper no more, but I just couldn't support them.
You know, David, you made an interesting point. This is a good con. I'll tell you why. David goes, hey, I like your paper. And by the way, I read the Times Union because I have to. David says, I like the paper. Can you just tweak it a little bit? Folks, how could you not tweak it a little bit? That's like saying, you know, I tell you what I advocate. I think that Nate Monroe and all of the reporters for the Times Union should call all of you to subscribe to it, or used to subscribe to it, and try to convince you to renew your subscription. Because the majority of people call in and go, I don't like their articles. Then why don't you? Evidently, somebody's not getting the message through. It must be the salespeople. Somebody's not getting the message through or writing them down. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, that really speaks to whether or not we want to hear what we like to hear, or whether or not we want to hear the, you know, the facts reported.
Well, true, but a lot of facts aren't reported. That's, I think, some would say that.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Is that you're getting an opinion, not fact.
Who are we going with next? We're going to go to Tom?
Let's go with Tom.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I left Jacksonville about 3 years ago, but I've continued to subscribe to the Times Union, and I find it to be overall pretty fair balance. I'm very conservative, but I think the reporting is pretty fair balance. But really, what I would say to everybody is we need to support local journalism, because without it, we lose a very important check and balance against our elected officials. And when we lose that, we're all in deep doo-doo.
Tom, I would agree with you. And I know that some of my conservative friends go, well, Tom, I've been hearing a lot of those that the liberal publications mention that. No, Tom, I agree with you, Tom. It's sad when when I have to read an article from the New York Post about a local tax situation in Jacksonville, I'd rather read it. As you said, I'd rather read from my local publication. And by the way, I think they do a good job covering it. I may not have to agree with the editorial, but at least they tell me what Lori Hershey said, what the Mayor Lenny Curry. That's all I want to know. What is both sides saying about this issue?
Yeah, I agree. I like to get that local flavor and get both sides, read both sides and make my own mind up.
Tom, I'm with you. I have to agree with you, Tom. Let's go to Dade. Hey, Dade, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hey, is the rant and rave the section you're talking about?
Where
local people complain about everything?
Well, you're close to it. The rant and raves. I mean, there's another word for it. What's it called?
I don't know. Public opinion.
You're right there, man. I mean, you are correct. They call it rants and raves. But it's one of the top man. Oh, I technically he doesn't have the right. He's in the ballpark. He's at third base and he should be almost at home plate right now. Mm-hmm. What's one of the biggest areas that people read in the newspaper outside of the obituary? You think they all read all the stories? No, a lot of people. The top three years ago was the obituaries, the comics. But one of the top three areas, and many times that people will read as the most entertaining part, and sometimes go to it the first areas of the newspaper. But it's not done by reporters. What is that? 831-0600-MARK. Hey, Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, Ed. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, sir.
I had to cancel my subscription to the Time Union because I used to use it as toilet paper, but it comes so full of crap it doesn't work anymore.
Oh, wow. Man. I thought Roger was the comedian right here. That's kind of, well, he just hung up on me. That's good. It's so bad.
Jab at the TU.
Oh, man. So 831-0600, 904-831. Yeah, let's combine them both. 831-0600. A lot of people, I'm not here to bash the Times Union. I don't agree with some of their columnists. I read Nate Monroe's stuff. I read him more on Twitter. I think he brings up some very valid points when it comes to city government, those working in city government, those who probably should not be working for the city after they retire. I think he's a little bit off on the school sales tax. By the way, Dr. Diana Green is going to be live in the studios next Thursday with us.
Yeah, less than
the
a week
school
away.
Superintendent. And yeah, we're looking forward to have her on. She knows we're fair and balanced. Well, Roger says I'm never balanced.
She'll find out.
Well, she already knows. They already know.
I get the Sunday paper.
Right.
For the coupons.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
It's the only reason why I buy
why
paper.
Why? Because according to the collars, it's extra toilet paper to use?
No.
He wants to buy one, get
I like
one
to
free.
Save money.
I agree with Tom. That's been a mantra being talked by, quote, liberals. Well, we got to support local journalism. I agree with that mantra. I would rather have a local news reporter than somebody coming down from the Atlanta Journal and Constitution.
I just think one of the problems you have with the local sometimes is they tend to parrot the national.
Yeah. And I think a little bit needs to be done on both sides and just take the political views out of it. Your calls are coming up next. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
295 going north at Duval Road. There's been an accident involving several cars at I-10 West mile marker 331 in Baker County. An accident there. And 295 north at Atlantic Boulevard. We're looking at a broken down car.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you've ever wondered if there's a diamond cutter known as the best in the world, the answer is yes, there is. And it's Hearts on Fire, who have the world's most perfectly cut diamond, and we have them at Underwoods. When anybody comes in and looks at one of these diamonds, the first thing they say is, "Wow!" That's because these diamonds are cut for absolute maximum beauty and are really worth seeing, so you have an idea of how good a diamond can really look. They have perfect polish, perfect symmetry, perfect proportions, and perfect light performance, and are backed with an American Gem Society diamond quality document. Now, not every diamond could be a Hearts on Fire diamond, because only certain rough diamonds in the hands of the most skilled cutters working in state-of-the-art cutting facilities can cut these. In fact, only 200 diamond cutters out of the 1 million people employed in the diamond cutting trade are skilled enough to cut a Hearts on Fire diamond. And they're available at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Jacksonville Power Sports is your home for Kawasaki, Sea-Doo, Can-Am, and Polaris. And right now is the time to buy. Take advantage of super low financing and rock bottom pricing on all motorcycles, personal watercraft, ATVs, and side-by-sides. For over 40 years, Jacksonville Power Sports has proudly served our community. Jacksonville Power Sports is located on Atlantic Boulevard, 1/2 mile west of 295. Check them out online at jacksonvillepowersports.com. That's jacksonvillepowersports.com.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're MediShare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many MediShare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join MediShare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Lots of rain with thunderstorms today. 95 degrees the high. This evening, partly cloudy with a 1 in 5 chance of rain. 76 the low. Right now, it's 77 here at WBOB.
All right, let's take some more calls. 831-0600. Let's go to David. Hey, David, thanks for waiting.
Good morning. I quit taking the paper because I told them I only wanted it on Sunday. They said they only had a Saturday and Sunday. And I said, then don't throw Saturday. They wouldn't give me what I wanted. But it's probably the want ads. Is that what you're after?
That's it. Do they still put a lot of want ads in the publications?
Yes.
Do they? Okay. No, that is one of the other areas, but no, it's not. David's correct. That would be one of the... In some months, want ads would be there, especially during the jobs. But in a Trump economy, well, maybe you are looking for more better jobs, paying jobs. But what is the one area that a lot of people read, they love reading, that is not written by, there's your other hint, by reporters? 831-0600. Let's go to Howard. Hey, Howard, good morning.
It's letters to the editor.
That is correct. I know some publications call it rant raves. Howard, you're exactly correct. We did this for many years. People love reading. They love getting just worked up in the morning by reading the letters to the editor. Is that all you had to say?
That's it.
Oh, okay. All right. You're the man.
I was just going to say, this is a fellow talk show host, Howard from Real Estate Radio.
Oh, what time's he's on the weekend.
Saturday, I believe it's at 9 a.m. on Saturday, right?
That's right.
Okay. And Howard, I'm always promoting the week. Roger, am I correct?
Yes.
I'm always promoting your weekend shows on the air. We run your ads, and I always tell everybody, listen to our very, very popular weekend shows.
And you do a great show, so thanks for what you and Roger do.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Hey, I need you to find me a 3-acre lot on the freaking Ponte Vedra Beach, less than $300,000. Can you come through?
It'll be at the size of a poacher's.
You know, that's on top of the 3 acres I already own in Ponte Vedra Beach. I should say, I kid with you.
The land alone is that expensive? Wow.
It's Ponte Vedra Beach, Roger.
$300,000 for the land alone?
No, it's not. I was kidding.
Okay.
Listen, if you can get 3 acres,
I can understand
less than $300,000.
If there's a 5-bedroom home there, but you're talking about land by itself.
Well, wow. No, that's not the land. What's on the beach, so okay. It probably would be. Wait, 3 acres? I might. Who knows what the marketplace may be? 831-0600, 904. Thanks for the call, Howard. He's exactly right. Don't you love reading letters to the editor? People are ticked off on both sides.
Yes, I
it's kind of like callers going into talk radio. 831-0600. This is, we don't edit your calls. That's the difference between the publication. They edit your letters. Talk radio, WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. We haven't heard too much about the wall lately, but the drive to build it continues. Now there's word the GOP-led Senate will seek cuts in other departments to send the president another $5 billion for the border wall. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he will not be calling senators back to work early from their August break to deal with gun control legislation. However, McConnell says he is now willing to consider background checks and other measures. For the second time in a week, a former FBI official, this time it's Andrew McCabe, is suing the agency and the Department of Justice, alleging wrongful termination. On Wall Street, stock futures pointing to a lower open later this morning. Right now, Dow futures down about 109 points. S&P futures off 14, NASDAQ futures down 52. More details at srnnews.com. AmSix100.com.
On I-295 going north Duval Road, there's been a crash, several cars involved. It's now in the clear-up stages and not causing that much backup. I-10 west at mile marker 331 in Baker County, there's been a wreck there. A road ranger as well as a tow truck now on the scene. And if you're at 295 north at Atlantic Boulevard, a broken-down car. St. Johns County, 95 south, State Road 16, another car there conked out. Lots of rain with thunderstorms today. The high 95, this evening the low 78. Right now it is 77 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Florida Attorney General is going after deceitful car dealerships. The National Rifle Association say they are at the opposite end with the White House on proposed gun legislation dealing with background checks. And circulation and readership of local newspapers hits an all-time low.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
This operation was planned for months. More than 600 agents were involved. They moved in on six different cities, smaller cities around Jackson, Mississippi. They were mainly targeting chicken processing plants. The agents would surround the perimeter of the plant, then move in. They would check for proof of residency from the workers. Those without it were lined up. Their hands were zip-tied behind their backs.
Steve Harrigan reporting why there were several raids done in the Mississippi. Well, the state of Mississippi at several chicken plants where they raided and arrested over 680 individuals of illegal aliens. By the way, everybody, not everybody from south of the borders, they say, Ron and Roger Henderson here, we're illegal. A lot of people had work permits. But one of the reasons why they did have this raid, Thomas Homan, former ICE director under Barack H. Obama, says because of tax evasion. And guess what else, folks? Identity theft.
This is a criminal operation. People need to understand that. We're talking about identity theft. We're talking about tax evasion. It's illegal. It's a violation of criminal statute to knowingly harbor illegal alien. It is a felony to conceal and harbor an illegal alien in your premises. So this is a criminal investigation that's going to help a lot of U.S. citizens whose identity has been stolen, their credits have been ruined by illegal aliens using their Social Security numbers to get employment.
831-0600, 904-831-0600. To me, that's the big issue to talk about is identity theft. And you want to know something? If a business harbors one of these individuals knowing that they're here illegally, they can get major trouble as well. Hence, this is the reason why you need E-Verify. Two reasons before I get to the calls. One, to find out who's here in some cases. Number two, guess what? It just shows that the businesses are doing something illegal. You nail them. They can't go, we didn't know. But then again, as Roger pointed out, they have identity theft. How can some of them
know? Here's the deal. A lot of these businesses, sometimes they really know they're hiring illegal because they're not paying them even minimum wage. I think that for the interest of commerce in America, we probably need to do a better job at maybe having some type of recruitment going on in these countries so that they can come here illegally and we can manage the influx of the illegal immigrants into the country. They won't be illegal.
You plan to drop an HR agent in the middle of Mexico City?
I think if it helps the economy and keeps prices down.
Roger, there's a lot of crime in Mexico City. That's why I'm saying
Well, I wouldn't say Mexico City, but a lot of them come from places like Nicaragua, Honduras.
Oh, you'd go to Cabo San Lucas. That's where you want to go, right, Roger? You want to be one of those HR people, right?
If they want to come here, then I think we probably need to accommodate to make it legal.
Okay.
As opposed to putting themselves in the
they
country.
They have a legal avenue to use.
And
they don't.
Right? Yeah.
Why wouldn't they want to use the legal avenue?
Why would they?
Because it takes a little bit longer.
Takes longer.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's harder for them to get in. And they're not going to get in for the grounds that they want.
And by the way, I think legal immigration needs to move up much quicker. I mean, there are backlogs of people that want to work in this country legally.
That's
and
the point
I think
I'm
making. Yeah, I agree with you. I've always been consistent on that. Let's go to David. Hey, David, good morning.
Okay, guys, somebody stole my Social Security number, and I'm still working. And this other illegal is working with my number. Does that mean I'm getting twice as much money, an extra money coming into my account? That money will go to my account, won't it?
Wait, you mean your Social Security check, right?
The employer has to send that social withholding to the government. So that goes into my account, won't it?
Once it's figured out, I don't think you're going to be eligible.
But Dave, no, David, that is a great question. I mean, it's funny, but it's a good question.
But are you also wanting to pay your taxes on that other income?
Yeah,
no, but okay. The Social Security money withheld, doesn't that go to my My account number?
Fraudulently, at no fault of yours, yes. But once it's discovered, it'll be taken away, yeah.
Yeah, that's like saying...
Oh, okay, thank you.
David, no, that's a great call. That's entertaining. I mean, but here's what I'm getting at. With the way the IRS is, this is going to sound... Let me preface this. If somebody is from New York City, and they have a New York accent, and they're trying to tell you they're from Yulee, Florida, somebody's not telling you the truth. And I'm being stereotyped. I preface all that. Okay, Roger?
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody's coming from south of the border and they're you look at them and go, okay, they're from Guatemala, Honduras, and their name is Tom Manicotti. Okay, there's a red flag there.
Well, here's the deal. They're probably using their real name, but the other person's social security number.
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
But the point that I am saying is that with the social security number, you would look up address, but then again, if the individual's working in another state, sometimes not everybody has a job in one address working in another location three states down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do, yes. So you think there'd be some sort of mechanism to take a look at that.
And it could lead to an ICE raid.
Yeah, it's probably they probably have that mechanism. That's what they use. My hope is I hope they arrested the employers in this thing.
What if the employers didn't know? Or didn't have.
I don't think you're going to be able to really make a laughable argument or even a good argument that you didn't know.
You have a point.
If you were to assemble a list, a hierarchy of concerns or problems this country faces, where would white supremacy be on the list? Right up there with Russia, probably. It's actually not a real problem in America. White supremacy, that's the problem. This is a hoax. Just like the Russia hoax. It's a conspiracy theory used to divide the country.
Well, that's what Tucker Carlson said. It was all a hoax out there, and so everybody jumped on board with this. Listen to the former chair of the Democrat Party out of D.C. He says, we need to have a conversation about this. But he says, we haven't even had a conversation about slavery yet, and that's a big issue.
So the national dialogue that calls for is super important. It may not be practical, but it's a dialogue of reconciliation, of resolution, yeah, and tolerance. But the biggest social ill we have is the race and class issues. We've never resolved that. We've never had a dialogue where we got beyond what happened with slavery.
Wow.
I'm not talking about reparations or even forgiveness. I'm talking about sitting down with people that don't look like me and you, share different views, and having a dialogue.
We got to have a dialogue of slavery 160 plus years ago. We still haven't had a conversation about that. Here's the other point. Listen to Chris Matthews from Hardball. He thinks that all of us conservatives, right-wing talk show hosts, hang out and actually listen to everybody's show so we can get our talking points in one line.
Media people, Rush Limbaugh, Fox News, a lot of conservative or even right-wing radio hosts around the country, they're all listening to each other. They all know what each other is saying. And by omission, they go along.
Do you watch Perry Mason to learn how to do a court case? Do you watch Matlock?
No.
No, Roger and I don't really have time listening to this.
The problem with Perry Mason, the whole concept of discovery is completely omitted. He doesn't show up at the last minute.
You know, the problem with Perry Mason is I keep looking for him to come in a wheelchair. Remember he played Ironside?
You know, the left is great at projection, aren't they? I mean, it's like they know they do it, so because they do it, well, the right must be doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know, they're racist, right. So if they're such good people, well, then the right must even be worse. And that's just, it's a constant stream of projection.
Yeah.
Fox News's rating strategy is making white people scared and angry. The Republican Party's political strategy is making white people scared and angry. The president's reelection strategy is making white people scared and angry, which is why all these condemnations of white supremacy are basically meaningless, because that's the strategy that they're going to continue to pursue.
Wait. First off, what should the white people be scared and angry about? According to what we hear, Roger, politically, you think they would go into the black communities and get them all scared and angry to come out and vote against Trump?
Yeah.
Evidently, that argument doesn't seem to be working there.
No. His popularity is rising.
Yeah, according to the latest numbers out there. 831-0600, 904-831-0600. You and I were talking during the break, this whole white supremacy thing. They're labeling him. We've said that, hey, according to our news reports, the shooter out there in El Paso was, quote, a white supremacist. You say he wasn't? According to his what, manifesto?
No, if you look at his manifesto, he's not. Again, what's the definition of white supremacy? It's that you believe that the white race is superior to the others. If you read his manifesto, that's not what he says. That's not what he says at all. It's an argument that I think is being used for political purposes. But if you take a look at that manifesto, it's a scary read. This is a kid that really writes well, thought this out, but you don't understand. How do you reach the conclusions that he reaches? It's just, he targeted Mexicans. There's no dispute about that. But that's not white supremacy.
Yeah, he would go after everybody.
Right, he didn't go in there and say whites are superior. His biggest problem was that there's immigration, okay. There's things, Texas is changing, the country's changing, no one's doing anything about it, so I'm going to do my part. It's screwed up, but it's not white supremacy.
Is the minister, if you want to call him that, Louis Farrakhan, Roger? We've talked about him.
Okay.
Is he a racist?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a racist because he goes after what group of people?
He speaks
for the most part.
Well, first of all, he thinks that white people are the devil.
Right.
Okay. And he believes that
the Jews
are not good guys.
However,
he does believe that there are some rare exceptions here and there, but overall,
okay,
white people have a bent on evil.
Okay. So here's so what do you think? No. Roger would know this, and because he's covered it, that's why he would know it, folks. What I'm getting at is, we know there's pictures of Obama side by side with Louis Farrakhan. Does that mean I wouldn't call President Obama a racist,
mm-hmm.
but does that make Obama a racist? Now, all I'm saying is just in a court of law here.
Guilt by association.
Guilt by association. Tell me, did this young kid, did he show up, did he give money? Did he show up to a big rally in Texas, hanging out with President Trump? Then my question is how do you come to a blame where Trump must take responsibility for what the shooter did?
And this kid did not, you can't. This kid did not say, and he made it very clear, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Republican supporter.
He say that in the manifesto?
Yeah, he says, they'll say that I'm a white supremacist. They'll say that I'm a supporter. I am not. It's just, he's saying both sides are failing this country. Now, again, what possesses somebody to think that the solution is to go kill people? And that's the baffling thing, is how does he do this well-thought-out manifesto and logical, it doesn't sound like an insane mind until you realize he's talking about killing people.
Right.
And how does someone reach that? And it's not a race issue. It's a mental health issue. But if you look at his manifesto, he is not saying, he is saying, I don't support either side.
But that goes back to the whole thing. There's a fine line between mental health and evil, or is there?
In his case, there isn't. Yeah. I mean, it's...
The official hate group monitors are very quick to label something as white supremacy. Let's remember in 2009 when Army Major Nidal Hassan killed 13 people and wounded another 30 at Fort Hood. The government refused to characterize that incident as Islamic terrorism, even though he had been radicalizing for years. When it comes to identified white supremacist incidents, according to one source, there were 17 white supremacist homicides last year. That's 0.01% of all homicides in this country. It doesn't even register.
And that's Heather McDonald, who is the author of the book, The Diversity Delusion. So here's the thing, is now we've expanded, it's like a government program, we've expanded what the original intent was. Now we've expanded what these meetings are. If Roger Henderson, and Roger's black, and Roger, a lot of people go, man, I really enjoy listening to Roger. I love that voice, man. And then Roger's, what, really? I mean, we get liberals have called Roger white privilege. And we laugh about that.
Yeah.
Roger and I laugh off the air. We have a good conversation.
Listen longer.
That's right. Listen longer.
His trust fund's larger than yours.
So it is.
First of all, not white.
Roger Clampett from the Arlington Hillbillies. So okay. Anyways, but what I'm getting at here is that now we've expanded what these it's like impeachment. You would never say the word impeachment. It's almost like a sacred term only used when it needs to be used. Racism. Now they throw it around like Roger and I go down and get a cup of coffee during the break. It's just become the norm. So now if Roger says something, and we've said on the show where we think Trump could better define certain things, I'm the first one to say that.
I have criticized Trump on this program. Right. He needs to just, watch his mouth sometime, put down the cell phone, and stop tweeting.
But there's some things where we've supported the press, and rightfully so. And because of that, Roger now, under the left's definition, and again, Roger, if I'm wrong, he'll tell me I'm wrong, we would be part of that group that is considered to be part of a, quote, white nationalist or a white supremacist. And what happens if Roger does something wrong or he gets falsely accused, but for 5 days in the media, Roger Henderson is a sellout?
No, it's...
That would happen, Roger.
I don't think I've ever been called white privilege, but I think people sometimes.
I've heard.
Not white privilege. White nationalist.
White
I don't think I've ever been called white nationalist.
But you don't understand what I'm saying. Yeah. But Roger, it's like saying I would never call Obama a racist, even if he had a picture of Louis Farrakhan. I would have taken one just for a gag.
There have been those who have projected guilt to association on President Obama when he's in office. Let's be honest about that. You haven't, but there have been those who have, and I think they lose all credibility when they do.
831-0600.
Starbucks saying goodbye to newspapers. Starbucks dropping big names like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and USA Today from its store shelf.
Man, how could you drop the Wall Street Journal? That was Fox Business News, one of the big stories. Man, we took a lot of calls this morning on this issue. According to the Pew Research Center, not nationwide newspapers, local newspapers here, Jacksonville, the Times Union, the Orlando Sentinel, the Tallahassee Democrat. It's like I say, that name really fits well in Tallahassee. It's called the Tallahassee Democrat. Local news circulation among newspaper ads and digital are going down as far as subscriptions. My question to you at 831-0600. How many of you all still subscribe to the Times Union, even though we may not be a pro or a pro fax paper? I'm not saying that. Some of you are saying that. I do it because I like reading both sides. How many of you all, when you get a call from the newspaper, I'd love to hear your story. When you get a call from the newspaper, it says, hey, sir, ma'am, I'd like to have you renew or please buy a subscription, digital or the newsprint, for the Times Union. And you say no, or let's say you didn't renew your subscription, you canceled it. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? And what did you tell the individual calling you? What did you tell them the reasons why you were canceling? Or do you think they've done a better job covering, or do you don't think they do a good job recovering it? Forget the editorial. We understand what the editorial is about. I'm talking about the way you read it. Newspaper circulation is going down here in the state of Florida. Well, they're all going to digital. No, we're including digital, according to the Pew Research Center. Since it's cut 50% since 1999. And digital advertising is up, but circulation is at the lowest. Again, they say even among digital and news publication. Print and digital editions. So when you get a call from the Times Union, do you subscribe to the Times Union? If you get a call from a local newspaper, what do you tell them? The reasons why that you are not subscribing or renewing your subscription. Let me hear your points and your views on this. We want to get to your calls coming up next at 831-0600, 831-0600. We've got about 12 minutes before we end the show for this week. Love to hear, get your calls in, 831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
On the Dames Point Bridge, you're headed toward Arlington southbound. There is a broken down car. You'll see it on the right side of the bridge. It is causing some backup in I-10 going east toward downtown. At Cassett, there's backup.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, August 9th at 8 p.m., see and hear Lyle Lovett and his large band in concert at the Florida Theater in downtown Jacksonville. Saturday, August 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fullerworn Bridge on Riverside Avenue. And Saturday, August 10th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Vets for Vets quarterly gathering at ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
Join us for a special hour in the morning show, Thursday, August the 15th at the 8 a.m. hour, inside the studios with Roger and myself, Ed Dean, will be Duval County School Superintendent Dr. Diana Green. One of the big topics, Roger, a school referendum for a proposed sales tax this year.
And we'll be taking your call so you can ask Dr. Green yourself any question you have.
Thursday, August the 15th at the 8 a.m. hour, Dr. Diana Green, Duval County School Superintendent. Superintendent with Ed Dean Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB.
Lots of rain and thunderstorms expected today. We'll have a high of 95. This evening will be partly cloudy with a 1 in 5 chance of rain. 78 the low right now at 77 at WBOB.
All right, you want to squeeze in some more calls?
Yes.
Digital newspaper. A lot of people have been emailing me on this issue. But let's take some calls. Let's go to Janet. Hey, Janet, good morning. Hey, Janet.
Hello?
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, this is Jeanette.
Jeanette, I'm sorry.
Hey, that's okay. Coming from a journalism student, I used to be a journalist. What I tell people is when you stop being a factual newspaper, Journalism 101, just give me the facts, I stopped buying your opinion piece paper. And let me tell you, what just happened at the New York Times where they changed the headline based in essence, mob rules, I'm done. I don't have it. I go and find my sources. I read multiple publications. I listen to people. I discuss politics. I discuss whatever. I listen to what other people have to say. The bottom line is everything is now political. It's become infected. And they're not newspapers anymore. They don't state the facts. They give their opinion.
Jeanette, correct? When I was taking classes, for example, a lot of liberals in economics, trust me. So I was taking financial and economic classes. I was taking courses in college before I became a financial reporter as well. I didn't care whether the guy was liberal or not. I just wanted to learn certain things. I became more conservative as a reporter, believe it or not. But when we were taking, I was taking history classes and communication classes, it was about getting the story out, the who's, when's, why, and what, not some political agenda. When you were taking it, was it the same back then? I don't want to talk about age or what years you were at. I'm just saying, or did you notice your teacher was a little slightly balanced one way or the other?
Well, or balanced. I knew they were liberal. You could just tell. And I mean, I'm older than you, so I have no problem saying that. But even then, I knew they were liberal, but you could always count on the fact that even they stood by the, hey, you know, give me the facts, A, B, C, and D. The problem is editors, those of the liberal bent, they have the power to squash a story.
That's right.
Read the story about Cheryl Atkinson. She's one, I think there are some amazing female journalists, Molly Hemingway, Cheryl Atkinson, but unfortunately, the editors have the power to squash it or edit and change whatever they want.
Yeah. Jeanette, I appreciate the call. She's exactly correct. In fact, my communications teacher was also one that hired me for radio. And to this day, I think, Roger, you might have met him at our year in rally. I won't mention his name because he's a big liberal, but he's one of the most honest. He goes, and he's told me, he knew what my political views were, and he hired me.
Mm.
And to this day, we've been many years, and he's way older than me, but he comes to my 1 year rallies and he goes, you know what? He goes, I have a lot of respect. He went to school with Charlie Crist.
He'll
give me a lot of stories on Charlie, but, he owns several radio stations and we also had contracts. When I was also hired by a local newspaper publisher who wasn't a conservative, by the way. He was mostly conservative on property rights and things like that, but very socially liberal. I did the job. I covered the story. And, John said one time, the owner of the station, he goes, I tell you, Republicans have always done business with me. He goes, they knew I was a liberal, but they knew I was fair and honest. And because of that, mm-hmm. he goes, they advertise. He goes, I've offered things for the, this guy was a leftist, but he was the most fair and honest Democrat that I've ever worked for in my life. And he's like Barney Bishop. Barney's very conservative, but this, my old boss is, he's a leftist, but he's one of the nicest guys and he's honest. He comes to our year. I'll tell you off the air.
Yes.
And he is a decent guy, but he's about business. He's not about some political ideology. And when he put on some liberal talk show host, it went south. He put me on and everything else, boom, everything went through the roof. So it's just the bent and how they're taught. But I think sometimes, I know a lot of these kids are taught this way at a certain school, but I think by experience they can kind of break out of the shell. 831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
In St. John's County, I-95 South, State Road 16, there's a broken down car. It's on the right side of the highway. And if you're on I-10 headed east, cars are backing up starting at around Cassett.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
These days, even a presidential visit to the victims of mass shootings are not free of controversy. Politicians who would have attacked President Trump had he not gone to Dayton and El Paso attacked him because he did. Joe Biden, who wants to take his place and unravel the economy with higher taxes and more regulations, blamed the president for, quote, the carnage. Who did Biden blame for all the murders that occurred during his and Obama's administration? Who's responsible for the continuing shootings and murders in Baltimore and Chicago? The homeless in Los Angeles and the filthy streets in San Francisco, all run by Democrats. Things are only controversial because this president won't take criticism of himself lying down. If he stopped responding to critics today, his critics would not stop calling him names. That's because they want him out, either by impeachment, which won't happen, or defeat in the next election. That's their goal, and they will stop at nothing to achieve it. Believe that. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Will China's plan to manipulate its currency work against America? We'll discuss with former Marine and international economics expert Mark Stiers on the next America First with me, Dr. G. We'll brainstorm with Sinclair Broadcasting's Boris Epstein as to whether Jerry Nadler really is serious about impeaching the president. And we'll ask Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch if Jim Comey really will get off scot-free.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, Saturday nights 8 to 11 p.m. on WBOB.
We're expecting a very rainy afternoon today, a high of 95 when the sun's out. This evening, partly cloudy with a 1 in 5 chance of rain. And overnight, the low will be 78. Currently, it's 77 here at WBOB.
Yeah, I took off my headsets.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
All right. So anyway, a great show today. This issue of guns, I think what's going to be really interesting, Ron, I know we've talked about it after the mass shootings last week. It's going to be interesting. Roger and I, we've said, even with school starting back up, I think this is going to be a very interesting conversation about guns in the schools if we're talking about public safety. But when these guys come back for Congress, I wonder where they go with this debate.
When are they set to come back?
What is it, Roger, after August?
Oh, gosh. Maybe on Labor Day? I don't know for sure.
I think if there haven't been any more shootings between here and there, we're going to go back to where we have always
been.
Remember,
the Parkland shooting, you thought, Roger, remember, they should have done it in for Ron DeSantis and other people, and they
right.
didn't do it.
But they did act. They did pass legislation
last year.
Yeah,
that's true.
Year.
They did pass by
they didn't go crazy. I thought I wasn't happy with some of it, but it was thoughtful.
Yeah, Roger and I, the gun promotion they wanted to do could have gotten much worse. I agree. I don't know if I would have supported what they have now. But anyway, everybody have a great weekend. It's good to have everybody back in for the last couple of weeks. A lot of people are on vacation. Roger, school starts up Monday, right?
Yes, in most places. Some kids are already back.
Okay. Well, yeah, they're already. But it was going to kick
Monday.
Up Monday. Attorney Ron Davis, always good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
And Roger says, thank you for the donuts.
Yeah, thank you.
I wish I could have some, but those abs won't allow me to have it. Anyway, we're thankful to God every day for the show. I'm so grateful, but I'm also grateful to you that listen to the show. Always email me throughout the weekend, ed@WBOB.com. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Again, thankful to God every day for this. We'll see you, good Lord willing, Monday morning. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.